This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by John Peterson and Gordy Young in association with John and Gordy Productions, Civic Media, and your Uncle Steve. Side effects may include nausea, uncontrollable laughter, and the desire to throw your radio into Lake Mendota. Now, here they are, John and Gordy. We're sorry.
I don't know.
Turn the mic on.
It never throws a signal to us.
I'll just keep trying. You know?
Okay. Go ahead.
92.7 WMDX.
Yeah.
John and Gordy in the Morning. Hope you enjoyed the interview with the owner of Short Stack.
Yes.
Alex.
Mm-hmm.
It was entertaining, and they really tried to work their way into the community and use local suppliers and local individuals to work at Short Stack.
Yeah, in business and for 10 years.
10 years. Yeah. They had their anniversary, and you know, the thing is that we're going to miss them.
Yes.
And their last days will be sometime in May. So right. You still have a chance to make it over there. I think they have a fantastic menu, great food.
Right. Yeah, we always had a fun time there. And you know, they're getting some pushback about closing from some
on,
locals.
On Reddit. Can't trust a lot of stuff that's on Reddit.
Right.
And you know, they're ripping into their GoFundMe site, but they were staying in business during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, I checked it out myself.
And,
so it was basically a COVID GoFundMe.
Yeah, and we did our Wednesday morning show there for a number of months. I don't know, four or five months. Maybe 6 months. And so that interview was some time ago. But, you know, everything that they talked about is still in place there.
They're not doing any interviews in regards to the closing, but you know, you can imagine that the lease probably went a little bit higher than necessary. And and maybe some work needed to be done in the building, but never had been done.
Yeah, well, we don't really know, but
that stuff plays into why a lot of these businesses move out from the location they've been in for years to another location on State Street or someplace else. But they, of course, are moving on to something else at this point.
Yeah, we don't know what, but we'll let you know if
we
find out.
Maybe Weta can help them out on that, or at least the new owners of the place. And somebody asked here, do they have potato pancakes? I don't know. I never looked.
Yeah, not sure about that, but
yeah.
Anyway, we wish them the best, whatever they plan to do.
All right.
And now, did you see this in the latest, you know, the latest Isthmus is out.
Yeah,
I think we'll have Judy Davidoff in sometime next week to
I hope
talk
so.
About it.
I hope so. But this story here is something we've touched on a few times on this program because we really don't believe that 20 miles per hour is a good speed.
Well, and the story here from Liam Burren wrote this. New speed limit signs to cost Madison taxpayers $500,000.
Ridiculous, isn't
it? $500,000.
Yes.
To change the speed limit signs.
Just to make it safer in the neighborhoods.
Yes.
Come on.
These are 2,000 signs.
What do you think?
That's what that buys you, 2,000 signs.
2,000?
$500,000.
That's ridiculous.
To go, you know, like, for example, 25 miles an hour down to 20. Now, why couldn't they? Here's my idea.
Unbelievable.
You know those stickers that you have to put on your license plate every year?
Yeah, you can't take them off once they're on there.
No. They're on there forever.
And they're reflective.
They're reflective. Why didn't they just buy stickers
over the
and
over
put
the
those
five.
Over the
yeah
and change it from 25 to 20? You could just change the 5 to a 0.
And if it ever goes back to 25, which it will, because this will be a miserable failure. Look,
you know, just peel the sticker off or buy new signs.
Doesn't law enforcement allow it like 5 miles over? Right. Most
yes.
of the time, so
of course they do.
So here we are.
That's crazy.
Going from 25 to 20. This is.
They say it's going to be safer for pedestrians and blah 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 blah.
I'd be very curious to see a map of the city of Madison where vehicle
signs.
And pedestrian collisions occur, and especially like actually dangerous ones. Like Yeah, getting hit by a car at 25 miles an hour isn't going to feel good, but it's probably not going to kill you.
Well, that's for sure.
That's good rationalization, Sam.
Very logical.
Might have a broken leg, but that's all right.
That's right. It's not fast enough to really hurt you.
I like that. That's good. But that does, you know, it's just crazy. $500,000? Okay. Oh, Catherine's on the phone now.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. What have we said this time that's wrong?
What did we do?
Right. Seriously.
What?
Slow down. You guys sound like you've already turned University Avenue into the Autobahn.
It should be.
Now you can't just slow down near the children in the schools. Seriously, it's Madison. Relax.
Oh, okay.
No, we can't relax. I can tell you're an East Sider.
It already takes forever to get from one end of town to the other. I just want to be able to get there in a reasonable amount of time.
That's right. That's right. And by the way,
news is, I was going to say, Gordy had a great idea. In Chicago on Lakeshore Drive, they have 45 during the year and most of the seasons. And then when it comes winter, they put a zero on five. They don't buy all new signs. Chicago knows how to bargain.
Wow, that's
how do they
like
do that? With stickers or just metallic?
It's not that hard. It's just Lakeshore Drive. It's what, 18 miles maybe? So they just get people out there putting zeros up.
You know what? I think they got. I think they have a flip card.
A flip card.
maybe.
Yes. That's it. Yeah.
Well, you guys, really, just slow down. You're too old. One car wreck and you're done.
No. Here's the thing. You don't. You don't need 20 mile per hour speed limit signs.
Yeah.
All you need is a slow driver in front of you that drives you crazy.
I'm just trying to get to electric in my hybrid, John. Just give me a minute.
All right.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, Catherine.
Thanks for the suggestions.
That's thank you.
Good idea. Yeah. You know, what they do on Lakeshore Drive, right?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, University Avenue. Yeah, it's wide open. If you go to the west side, anywhere from UW Hospital all the way over to Whitney Way, you can go as fast as you want. You never see cops.
They did lower
anybody.
The speed limit there. It used to be 40 or 45. Now it's 35.
It's ridiculous.
People will still go.
People are not. They're just ignoring it.
That's
just go with the speed
stupid.
Of the traffic. That's,
my God. Yeah. What are they trying to do?
I don't know.
They're just meddling in our lives.
Plus, it's nice and smooth now and, fun to drive on it.
Yeah.
Try to, put a chill into it.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad we solved that problem.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll have to call the mayor with our suggestions.
Yeah.
Either stickers or flip cards.
But, right.
Because this is just ridiculous.
Let's go to the phone. 608-879-8255 is our number, 879-TALK. Dick is on the line this morning. Good morning, Dick. Go ahead. What do you got for us?
Well, I love that, too. I'm from the East Side, and I totally agree with you guys on this. I mean, and the next thing is where the blatant speeding goes on that I see, like East Wash, University Avenue, none of it's any good without any enforcement.
Right.
I never liked the test team when they had it, but at least it deterred people when they thought maybe, this might happen. Another thought was, you remember the episode of Andy Griffith when Barney got the motorcycle?
I love the reference, Dick. Go ahead with it, man.
Go ahead.
If I give you five today, he stops. Well, he always give us this to get up Turner's Grade. The truckers tell him, he goes, well, Eddie, it's like this. I give you five today, it's five tomorrow, and so on. I'm forced to write you up. It's classic.
It is classic. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Dick. That's the way to go.
Meanwhile, cars go down Highland Avenue to the University Hospital at 45 miles.
Yeah, that's from my neighbors, and that's true. I live right on the corner of Highland.
But here's the other thing, too, is that no one really cares about the speed limit. Because everybody goes the same speed as everybody else behind and in front
go with
of
the
you.
Flow.
It's just with the flow.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Joe is on the line now with a comment or a question. Good morning, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, I am so glad that Dick had that lovely reference to Andy Griffith. from the common, we can create. And no, really, that was just beautiful. And I think that my comments will bear into that. I loved your interview with the gal from Shortstack. And boy, what a sweetie, wanting to do good things and going about it. And man, I'm sorry that they aren't able to make a swing with the restaurant, or they're moving on to other things.
I know.
But I loved it when she was talking about the way, the words that you use to describe things in a kitchen, because I've worked in kitchen or restaurants before. Yeah. And it, you do develop this language. And I was looking at diner language later on after I finished as a waitress, and boy, there are some great phrases, punchy and rhythmic, that people use. You know, one Adam and Eve on a raft, two poached eggs on toast, you know, burn the British, toasted English muffin. Right?
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
That's good.
Yep, a houseboat, a banana split. Okay, you know, they're just some wonderful lines. And I think what that brings up, you had mentioned earlier, you guys were talking about the crazy oppressor that Trump had, where he was talking about the American expansionist plans. You know, we're taking over Panama now. Yeah. We're taking it back, violating the treaty. We're just going to let Greenland. And then he's talking about Canada. And the language he used in the presser was, they should be a state. Okay, this is kind of aggressive. Okay,
yeah.
You know, how do you talk about it? And you mentioned that your wife had said something along the lines of, this sort of sounds like Hitler. And I think that's the line that we need to use, just about all of it. You know, that sounds kind of like Hitler and Austria. That didn't go so well, did it? Gee, you ever seen that movie Downfall? That was, you know, I mean, it just, we need to have that same punchy approach to this.
Right.
Of, because we can get lost in the weeds about how does Greenland actually work? Is it part of Denmark? Is it a constitutional mark? You can get lost in the weeds. But the important thing is, it's this aggressive toward friendly nations approach. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that John Stewart did was he referred to BS Mountain. And I think we just need to say, okay, what's happening today on BS Mountain? You know, what kind of landslide is happening today on BS Mountain? Here we go. And boy, that sounds a lot like Hitler.
It does. You know, that's
a good idea.
That's the big picture. I mean, we're getting into the weeds as far as, you know, Greenland and the Panama Canal and who owns it and who's controlling it, who's building on it.
Right.
All of these little things are going on, yes. But he even said that he would use force, possibly, in the Panama Canal area. So,
yeah, in Greenland.
Right. It's not. Yeah, so it's been said for us, what you can get lost in the weeds of, you know, what are the constraints of a constitutional monarchy? Well, you know, don't do that.
Right.
Talk about what he did and what he is exposing. And I mean, it is, and I think to bring up the movie Downfall at the end of it is really an important point, except it's going to be downfall for the United States, not just one individual.
Oh, yeah. An amazing thing. Thank you, Joe.
Joe, thanks for that call. Yeah, I like the idea of the catchphrases. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that... That's a good handle. Sounds like Hitler.
Sounds like Hitler. It really does.
It is coming up on 19 minutes past the hour. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com.
We're going to talk about MetaNet.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, and one of Gordy's favorite singers, rock singers.
I like Elvis. I like the early Elvis, especially. Mike McCabe's coming up in about 10 or about 15 minutes. But with us right now is our Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Good.
You know, we've never had a lot to report here as far as weather, have we?
Not lately.
We've had it easy in this state.
Yeah, we sure have. But the rest of the nation, not so much.
No.
My goodness. You guys were saying that with the wildfires in California, those crazy winds, 60 to 80 mile per hour.
That's right.
And then that system that's building in Colorado swinging down into Texas. Texas right now has winter storm warnings where they're looking at a half of a foot,
wow,
potentially a foot of snowfall and crazy ice accumulations into Dallas. So we're pretty quiet compared to the rest.
Yeah, they don't know how to handle any of that, do they?
It's just amazing. I mean, it was quiet here, and they had hurricanes in Florida and the East Coast, and here we are. You know, just nothing's happening in the Midwest.
Yeah. There's
pretty lucky, aren't we?
Yes. These wildfires in L.A. and in Los Angeles County, there's three different wildfires that are just out of control. And they're not only burning, you know, whatever woods there are or whatever trees, but they're burning buildings. And now we're watching video of vehicles catching on fire.
Yeah.
People stuck in traffic.
And they're not Teslas. Crazy.
No, so, they're not Teslas.
We know that Teslas start on fire and explode, but these are just regular vehicles. I like a temperature control incorporated, and their vehicle's on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right. 60, 80-mile-per-hour winds, anything that is ignited, it's just going to go, you know, and spread so fast. All right. Oh, my gosh.
Well, closer to home here, what can you tell us about our weather the next day or two? What do we got?
It's pretty darn cold out there right now, right? Yes. Single digits this morning, but we will warm up to the low 20s today. A lot of sunshine, a few clouds this afternoon. Kind of stays the case tomorrow too, but we do get a little bump in temperatures where we are going to make it to those mid to upper 20s and then kind of hold there and flirt with 30 as we push towards the weekend. But we do have a small chance of some very, very light snow tomorrow night. And of course, that'll put down just a trace to a half an inch and be gone by Friday morning. But after that, we are looking at another system on Sunday that wants to hit. Now, this one is not lining up completely just yet, but it is towards Wisconsin, where we are looking at about 2 to 4 inches. And that might hit us. So Sunday looks a little bit more significant than Thursday night, Friday.
Yeah. No big systems headed our way, though, for the next few days.
We're missing all of that.
I like the dusting. Yeah, or just a lot. You like little dusting of snow.
If I don't get snow soon, I'm going to steal a snow machine from Cascade Mountain so I can make a snowman in my yard.
Do it.
I will help you, Sam.
Good. Thank you.
Sam is collecting machines.
Yes. He brought a mimeograph machine. I bet you don't even know what a mimeograph machine is, do you, Britt?
It's best that you don't know.
Okay. Yeah. No. We don't want to explain it to you.
Sort of an antique copy machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something Gordy hadn't seen for 40 or 50 years, he said.
Yeah. You have to hand crank it. It's kind of interesting.
Anyway.
All right.
One of these?
What's that?
Does Sam have one of these?
Yes.
Yes.
I do, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He has two, I think, right?
I have fixed one of them up, yeah.
Okay.
He brought one for show and tell, and everybody... Some people walked in and said, "What is that thing?"
Everyone was just dumbfounded. They'd never seen something like it, except for you two.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Brittany, thank you very much. Hope you have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist. Okay.
All right, let's get into what's happening with Meta. This is so outrageous and so ridiculous and makes me so angry. You know, we don't have a choice. We can't boycott these companies. They're so big, so huge. We have no options.
You can boycott them.
No, you really can't.
No?
I mean, you're kind of tied in with this stuff into social media.
Well, what's going on with Meta? They're going to take away fact-checking?
But on Fox News, they were discussing all of this, their new policies, and they talked to Policy Chief Joel Kaplan, a Republican. He represents their policy personnel at Meta. And this is what he said. This is cut 28.
Okay.
And this will just send a chill. Let's listen.
In a letter he sent to the House Judiciary Committee a few months ago, that sort of outlined the way in which we got a lot of pressure around COVID in particular to take down more content, even things like humor and satire about the pandemic and about vaccines. So we did experience that kind of pressure. The decisions we made ultimately were our own. But there's a real opportunity here with President Trump coming into office with his commitment to free expression
back
to those values and really provide space for people to have the kind of discourse and debate they want to have.
You guys going to continue this after his presidency, or is this just a temporary thing for the moment?
This is an opportunity for us to get back to the values that Mark founded the company on. This runs deep for Mark. It's a great opportunity. to rebalance and to get back to free expression.
Right. Yeah, during the Trump administration, it's great to get back to those values, sure, you know, of free expression. Of course, they love free expression, don't they?
Oh, of course they
want to get rid of all that woke stuff. Mm. They love free expression, though. Mm-hmm. How about this? This is Mark Zuckerberg and his comments as well. Just as scary, by the way. 29.
Okay. I want to talk about something important today, because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh my God.
But a lot has happened over the last several years. There's been widespread debate about potential harms from online content.
Right.
Governments and legacy media have pushed to censor more and more.
No.
A lot of this is clearly political. So we built a lot of complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes, similar to X, starting in the US.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy.
It was, yes.
We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created.
No, that's not true. The Republicans have destroyed
it. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Second, just like X, right?
We're going to simplify our content policies and get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics like immigration.
Okay.
Just an amazing thing.
Just goes on and on.
In front of Trump. This is what it's all about.
Kiss the ring.
Yep.
That's it. Coming up right around the corner, Mike McCabe is with us, Substack blogger and author. He will join us when we continue with John and Gordy in the morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Department Store, which this week only is featuring its annual clearance sale. No, not clearance. This is their clearance sale. Any customer named Clarence will receive 15% off any purchase during this week only. Offer void where not prohibited by law.
I thought they were finally clearing out all the clearances.
No,
there's not a lot of them left.
More clearances to clear out.
Okay. Yep. That's good to know.
Okay. This portion of the John and Gordy Show also brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side, or just go to verlo.com.
All right. Time once again. Our special guest, Mike McCabe, in the studio from Substack, and so many topics, so much time has lapsed since your last visit here, and I guess we could jump in. Maybe let's talk about the Dylan movie, because we've talked about Bob Dylan on this show 100,000 times. My sister ended up getting picked up by Bob Dylan.
She was here in Madison, went to Chicago with him, right?
Right. Do you ever hear that story?
I never knew that.
She's one of these Mensa people, and she came to college here in Madison when she was 16 years old. And she went to a Dylan concert and ran into Dylan with her girlfriend backstage. And he said, "Hey, come on down to Chicago with me on my bus." And they went, took the bus down there and found out how old she was and took the bus back. So didn't last long, but you know.
But you saw the movie. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
What did you
think?
Was
that in there?
That story was not in the movie.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, the movie focuses on when he goes to New York. Mm-hmm. So it goes from 1961 to 1965. Mm-hmm. And just focuses on those 4 years. If people haven't seen it, it's a hell of a movie, and well worth watching. A complete
unknown.
Don't
give away the ending.
A complete unknown.
Yeah.
But I tell you, not only is it fascinating if you're a Dylan fan. Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating if you just like music and you watch somebody's evolution and he's singing iconic songs and getting booed.
Sure.
Because he's playing with electric instruments all of a sudden. He's no longer just up there, you know, performing as the traditional folk star. So you watch his evolution as a musician, his willingness to break new trails. And if you just also, it's a great examination of the history of the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, interestingly, what it did to me is it kind of triggered memories of reading Grapes of Wrath ages ago. Oh. And so I picked it up again. I picked up John Steinbeck and read a little bit. And so I wrote an article on Substack about the Dylan movie and included some lyrics from a particularly a powerful song that he wrote. But then I also include passages from chapter 25 from Grapes of Wrath. And Steinbeck wrote about potatoes being thrown in a river lined by guards so the people couldn't fish out the potatoes and oranges being thrown in a pile to rot, all because they wanted to keep the prices up.
Wow.
So and here people in that depression era are starving and they're desperate for food, and here's all this surplus food just going to waste, and you can't help but think about today when people are being denied cancer treatment or they're being denied a life-saving procedure or some needed surgery because doggone it, you got to keep the profit margins up.
And
there's so many parallels from then to now, just as there were so many parallels from the early 1960s when the Dylan movie is set to what we're going through right now in our country.
Yeah, I know.
It changes.
I know the move to electric was a stunning moment. I know my sister freaked out a little bit, and a lot of people did, because not only did Dylan do that, but a few of the bluegrass groups at that time, I think the Dillards were strictly acoustic, and they went electric as well. So a lot of people were shocked by the move to electric. I mean, most of their instruments were still, acoustic, but they were amplified.
He was singing for the first time some iconic songs that went on to become legendary.
But we still are.
And beloved songs that have then been re-recorded by so many other artists, and they've influenced so many. And people grew to love those songs, but there were a lot of people in the audience booing at the time because, my God, that was just not done. At a folk festival to play that way.
Yeah,
and he was somebody who just couldn't be corralled.
Yeah.
Was that the band, the first, his electric band?
Yeah.
There were members of the band, backing him up. Yeah,
that's
Robbie
right.
Robbie Robertson.
That's right.
Garth
Hudson. And as they booed, he told them to crank it up.
Yeah.
I had such a hard time accepting the organ for a while.
Really?
But it works. It works so well. And you listen back to the old tunes, and they're just, they are truly legendary songs.
That electric organ, the note that starts out, and people are like, what the heck is that? You can't start a song that way. And now it's such a captivating sound, and we all have grown to love those songs.
Absolutely. It was a shocker that he sold his entire library to Sony, I believe. So now he's just in retirement, working off the money he made, selling his material.
Well, he's never really stopped being on tour,
though. He still performs.
He's still
He's in his 80s, and he's still out there performing.
Yeah.
I know that
I saw Dylan once.
Oh, you did?
With Willie Nelson.
Yeah,
oh.
Same here. Probably the same tour.
Yeah.
About 15 years ago or so.
Yeah. And I think if you want to hear all of his old songs sung the way you remember them played, you're going to be disappointed at a Dylan concert.
Right.
Because I would sometimes be a minute and a half into a song before I would recognize what song they were playing.
Exactly.
They had changed the arrangements, and he refuses to be corralled. But if you're willing, if you're open to that, it's a hell of an experience.
I was going to tell the story. Yeah. I have a live recording of his version of Knocking on Heaven's Door. And he does it, how you say, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. He doesn't sing that part of it there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He waits till the second part to sing that particular set of lyrics. So he delays all of the lyrics in the song to later.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fascinating.
Oh, sometimes he would just mumble lyrics. Sure. I think he's, you know, I'm tired of singing those, and so I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
And he would just sort of mumble certain lyrics. Mm-hmm. And I read a music review from that same concert tour.
Yeah.
And it was basically a positive review.
Yeah.
But the reviewer took her daughter, maybe it was her son, middle school age or early high school, and the kid said there really should be subtitles.
That was the tour. I think he was going to a lot of minor league ballparks.
Yeah.
And it was great, actually. Yeah. I saw him in South Bend.
And he came to Warner Park.
Yeah, okay.
He and Willie came to Warner Park in Madison.
Yeah. Of course, Willie Nelson was wonderful, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah,
I could understand his lyrics.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. But it's guitar, you know. You wonder how long that thing is going to hold together. that is beat up. Mm-hmm. If any guitar is beat up, that's the one.
All right, you guys should go to the movie.
Okay.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, we're
checking it out. Yeah.
So you think of the performance, the guy who plays Dylan?
I'll tell you,
Timothy Chalamet.
A lot of people, I think, kind of think he's just a pretty boy or whatever.
Yeah.
Boy, does he deliver in this movie.
Mm. Yeah.
He not only plays Dylan convincingly, he performs on stage as Dylan convincingly.
Yeah.
The guy.
He does sing. He's a performer.
And he plays the guitar. He was a delight to watch. A lot of times you see somebody playing some famous musician or some famous figure, and it's a good effort, but it's not quite there. Boy, does he nail Dylan.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch.
Well, the last time I remember a really good performance nailing it, of course, it was Elvis, but the one prior to that was Buddy Holly, and I can't remember the star's name who played it way back when. And it was just an incredible magnetic performance, but that worked. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to go see that, definitely. Now, in fact, I'm going to do that immediately. Maybe my really? My sons can get in an illegal version on
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't like that. Let's get into something. Let's get into something you were talking about on your latest Substack, and that is how as children are attracted to mud, playing in the mud. It's true, you know. We're fascinated by what water does to mud, dirt rather, you know, right? And then you also said, but grown-ups are attracted to power. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you're talking about here.
I wrote it on January 6th, and so really the article is about January 6th, you know, and the article is titled "Mud and Power."
Yeah.
But it's really about the, you know, what happened 4 years ago on January 6th, and I relate in the article my own experience witnessing a coup d'état back in 1991 in the West African country of Mali, and the thing about coups. It you'd think that government overthrows have to be really meticulously planned and very, very methodically executed. But in fact, if you actually witness one, they come out of nowhere, and they seem random, and they seem spontaneous, and you just don't see them coming. So if anybody thinks they can anticipate a government overthrow, they can't.
Yeah,
it's not
like the entire country goes with it. It's just like in this one area.
See, that's the thing.
Coup is taking place.
Exactly. That's the thing is you'd think that a revolution would touch every corner of a country, and that every place would be in upheaval. And in fact, I lived just 20 miles outside of the capital of Mali, and life was completely normal 20 miles away from the nation's capital. And even when you went to the capital, parts of the capital were completely normal. Life was as it always is. Mm-hmm. it didn't seem like the country was on the verge of revolution.
Except when you went to the bank.
And except when I went to the bank.
And they had military all
right.
Over.
I made a turn. Everything looked normal. And the streets were bustling and merchants were hawking their wares. And I made a turn around a corner. And all of a sudden, there are tanks and armed soldiers with guns raised. And of course, I turned tail and went the other way, only to find facing me in the other direction a mob of protesters coming.
Wow.
And I'm in the middle of this and found a little back alley and darted down there, as did many merchants, as they were getting their products off the street and throwing them into little brick buildings. And I could hear the metal doors banging as I ran down the street. And I circled around and took a circuitous route to the bank and went about my business. And later that day heard that I think it was a half a dozen or eight people were killed in that confrontation. And went back to the village where I lived, and life seemed completely normal again. And then some days later, heard that the government had fallen, a military dictator had been deposed, and that set the stage for the development of a democratically elected government. And so what I saw on January 6th of 2021 reminded me so much of what I had witnessed in 1991.
There's a line in your story, and I love this. Institutions built on ground can quickly dissolve into mud.
Mm-hmm.
And just that wrapped it up for me. That was fantastic.
And what mud is to children, power is to grown-ups.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're drawn. That's great. Some are drawn to it.
Hey, you're a good writer.
Thank you.
What do you got there?
Well, I was just going to say, during your time off, did you do any book signings or anything like that, or did you just
take
it down for a couple of weeks?
I actually had some surgery done in December to repair a tear in my stomach wall, and so I decided to lay off the book events, but they're coming back. I've got some coming up, one in Oshkosh, one in Spring Green, and another one coming up in Milwaukee soon. So
great,
good enough.
Yeah,
I want to talk about healthcare next.
We will come back with more with Mike McCabe right around the corner.
We'll later be fast as the present now. We'll later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX. Apologize for talking over the lyrics, Bob Dylan.
Back with Mike McCabe.
Yeah, here. Mike McCabe, our guest. This Dylan thing. I always wish that somewhere along the way, we have pretty turbulent times now. It would be fantastic to have another Dylan appear someplace, somewhere in this country, some musician that could duplicate, relating what's going on now.
I have a 25-year-old son, and we saw the movie together because he was home for the holidays, and I asked him afterwards, I said there doesn't seem to be those kinds of poets
exactly
in today's musical scene. I said, who's the poet today? And he said he agreed with me. He said there's not a lot of Dylan-like poetry in today's music. And I said, so who's the poet? And he said his answer was Kendrick Lamar. And so maybe the poetry has been channeled into hip hop and is being done in the form of rap. But yeah, that was Casey's answer. He said he's Kendrick Lamar. But he agreed. He said a lot of the stuff is the lyrics are pretty empty, and you don't hear somebody you know, singing this kind of stuff that Dylan was singing, but he did point to hip hop as sort of the one area where he sees poetry.
Green Day,
yep,
does their best at it.
Yep.
The American Dream is Killing Me is my absolute favorite song lately.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This decade, basically.
Yeah,
I just love that.
But
it
even Green Day's a little old.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, that's a little old. Yep.
Well, I don't know. I miss having somebody with that kind of voice. And, you know, I think he really did bring about change in this country. He helped along mm-hmm. the 60s and all of the different things that we had ventured into. You know, women's liberation, the sexual revolution, the protests against the war.
Yeah, and thanks, going to war. And thanks, Sam, for playing that last clip as you came back on the air, because that's that organ that was playing in that song. That's what was getting booed at the folk festival. And you listen to that song now, and what a wonderful sound and what powerful lyrics. And yet, when Dylan first played that. Mm-hmm. That music, he was getting booed.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I've seen some interviews with him over the last few years where he talks about when they ask him, well, you know, how come you don't write songs like that anymore? And he just says, the well is empty. You know, I don't.
Isn't that amazing?
That was a certain time, a certain place, and those songs just came to him.
Right.
I mean, just one right after another.
You can't even imagine having done that stuff.
Right.
He doesn't. Right? It's like a different person.
But he kept writing into the 70s, into the 80s, into the 90s, and he has still written well into the 21st century. So it's not like, you know, the well was empty for that kind of song that he was writing in the early 60s. But then he wrote amazing music.
Oh yeah.
It's great stuff. But he just continued to grow
and continues to tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Well, there was another folk singer at the time, Dick Campbell. Now, no one knows about him, but he was a good songwriter.
I remember Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, Glenn Campbell. But Dick Campbell was a good songwriter, except he tried to have his musical sound very much like Dylan's with the electric sound and the organ. And people rejected him outright for copying Dylan.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a good thing to do at the time, at least trying to mimic that particular great sound that he had, that catchy tune. So what do you got, Gord?
We got about 2 minutes or so.
Just all right. Now, you had a piece. You referenced a Guardian article about health care. And, you know, looking over the article from The Guardian, it talked an awful lot about all the people that have been harmed by insurance companies and by the health care system, the private system that we have in this country. And it is amazing that this has gone under the radar for so damn long. It just drives me crazy. You know, on the show, we push universal health care because it's the only solution, and it'll solve so many of our problems that we have in this country. So this article, it seemed like what it was pointing to.
And our population's been propagandized for so many decades to fear socialized medicine, and there will be these long waits, and there will, you know, and you won't be able to get care, and there will be
rationing.
There'll be rationing of care. And what do we have now? But you try to get an appointment, and they say, well, we're scheduling out 6 months.
Exactly.
And that's a routine experience now. So the very thing that we were taught to fear is what we're experiencing now. And on top of that, there's denial of claims, and there's needed care that's deemed medically unnecessary, and just to keep the profit margins up.
One of the things that I think one of the cruelest elements of all of this is that because of the deductibles and copays, we self-ration.
Yep.
They forced us to ration our own health care.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's inhumane, if it's anything.
And America stands alone as the only industrialized country in the world that hasn't gone the route of universal health care. And we're told that, you can't make it work. It's like this Rube Goldberg, contraption that it'll never work. And every other industrialized nation on earth has managed to make it work just fine.
They've created the wheel. All we have to do is just borrow parts of that wheel and put our own wheel together.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't it more complicated with the U.S. because we are 50 disparate states?
No, it actually isn't.
It's 50 different countries in the European Union, whatever it is.
They want to make it that way.
And they all are different. know.
Yeah, they want to make it that way, Catherine. Good point, though.
We could go on, but we can't. We're out of time. Yeah, Mike, always good to see you. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Great to see you.
Yeah.
Happy day, guys.
Coming up tomorrow, Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Also, Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils talking education. Stephanie Miller's coming up next. John, have a great day. Sam, you too.
Gordy, same to you. That's very
Thank
nice
you.
Of you to
Thank
say.
Thank you very much.
You
let's
really
go
never
have some
say
pancakes.
That to anybody.
Let's go to...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.